Donut Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile.
A lot of times when I've done like about 650 of these things, a lot of times that what happens before the podcast is a lot more interesting than what happens during the podcast. Anyway, so we're after the bye week. Are we all refreshed? Are we all what did you guys do during when the Steelers don't play? Do you watch other football? Do you live a normal life?
Yeah. I watched other football and didn't stress. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of nice. It feels almost like a little mini vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how much more productive I am. When there's not Steelers football on. I still watch the other games, but
I tell you
it's not as intense. You know,
well, I spend the day before like obsessing, then the day of the game obsessing and watching, and then the day after lately, like mourning the loss, you know what I mean? And being mad and taking notes for the podcast and stuff like that. So without any of that to do, I was like, wow, look at all this free time I have.
Watching a Steeler game is so emotionally draining for just all those reasons that you said.
It is.
No matter what, you get fired up. I'm already fired. I'm fired up. Remember when Joe Hayden had that phantom pass interference call against the Saints a few years ago that like ruined that game and ruined the season? I'm still thinking about that. So I'm pre-angry.
Instantly makes you angry when you bring back those things like Jesse James catching the ball, like it immediately makes you mad.
But when you watch other football games, it's entertainment. It's like, oh, the Bills are losing. I wonder if the Bills or I wonder if the Jets are going to win this game. Oh,
hello. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
It's also sad to see how other offenses play.
Okay. Then it goes.
I sort of remember things like they're actually going down the field and getting into the red zone and look, they're scoring. You know what I mean? Like
the quarterback throws the ball and the receivers catch it. What? And he throws it more than 3 yards and to the middle of the field. I thought that was outlawed. I thought there was a rule against throwing to the middle of the field in the NFL. Right. Apparently it's not. Apparently it's just a Steeler.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, like, one of the things that makes me the most bitter is like not even just like the flubs we make on like plays or not even calling plays well, but it's like watching other teams. I have these like impressive progressions. Been watching the Vikings play a lot this year, and Kirk Cousins, I think, is like a so-so quarterback. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's great by any means, but he's got some solid weapons on there. They've built this offense around what his particular strengths are, and they're freaking 7-1, like the Vikings. Do you know what I mean? And they're still doing things to like constantly improve, like the trade. They got a new tight end because their tight end was kind of crappy. And you know what I mean? And like immediately the kid made like an impact. And so like you watch these other teams that like, even at 7-1, they're still like improving every week. And I wished I felt like we were doing that. Like it takes the sting out of the rebuild or whatever you want to call it. If you feel like you're at least making steps forward every week, but I don't feel like we're there. Like stupid penalties still. Like week 8, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Like, did they really use the bye week? You know, are they going to come out? Are they going to be
very curious?
Were in the first half. Like, that's what I'm most looking forward to seeing.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest question: is this offense going to do anything? Did they learn anything? Did they take this time to come together? Are they going to do anything? Is Kenny Pickett going to progress? I think that's the main thing is this offense going to do anything? And I've heard it said that they should simplify the offense. And this is what I've been saying for a long time now. This Matt Canada offense is too complicated. And that's probably why every single freaking quarterback that's in it does not succeed in it, because it's too complicated. So simplify it for the rookie, simplify it for Cam.
Maybe it is. I don't know. We're not there, but it seems like it's the same, like run, run, pass. Like I struggle to figure out like what's so complicated about it when like the mailman can call defense for whoever we're playing against, because there's just no spark there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's nothing new.
I think Kenny Pickett's going to have his first real chance to, since he's been a starter, to really play. And I say that because the Saints have like two I read something on Twitter today, two interceptions and 258 pass plays.
Yeah. Like, and have been terrible against the run. I mean, the Ravens ran all over them. And they've got two key defenders that are either out or at least not playing at 100%. So, I mean, you should hope we'd be able to get something going on the run game this week against them.
Yeah, my concern is that they blew out the Raiders. Like, I don't pay attention to either team, the Saints or the Raiders, enough to know why. But to blank another team is difficult to do. So I wonder, was their defense just different than they were, you know, last night against the Ravens? Like, what? How does that? I don't even know.
Well, the Saints' strength is supposed to be their defense. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm telling you now, and I'm going to put this out on Twitter. If the Steelers start their first drive and it's the first three plays are run, pass, I will give someone $100. I am so sick and tired of this. I swear if they start run, pass, I am going
you might be able to keep your money if you said if they don't.
I was thinking of betting people, but then that's, you know, then I'd have to run my own sports book and stuff.
But
like,
hey,
that
what was it, two or three games ago we actually saw them come out with something new. I forget who we were playing that week, two games ago, and saw them come out with something new, and everybody was like,
yeah,
yeah, that's, but then cool. For the rest of the game, they were like, that's it. That's all we had.
That's it. That's, oh, yeah, we're
nothing else.
Yeah, that's what it was for me anyway. It was the touchdown to Derek Watt where I was like, who is that?
Yep.
What?
And right.
It was a weird kind of, whatever play it was interesting. It was something they had never.
It was really, Chase Claypool. It was a give to Chase Claypool, and Chase Claypool threw the touchdown to Derek Watt.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and then I thought, oh my gosh, let's just keep doing that. And I'm like, wait a minute, no, it's the Steelers, I'm not going to do that.
And immediately, all of us that are a little older had like flashbacks to like some of the great plays with Hines and
Antoine Randall.
Immediate flashbacks to those awesome trick plays we used to run.
They even talked about one of the commentators had mentioned how Steven Sims, he was saying, or it reminded him of Antoine Randall because of his kind of, you know, his shittiness or his ability to do all kinds of different things. And so we'll see.
I like that kid.
That's why they traded Chase Claypool, because he was becoming a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett, and you can't have that. You can't have that conflict, so that you have to get rid of him. Yeah. No, I mean, I got a team of writers. They're in the other room. They're feeding me lines.
Pittsburgh was trying to avoid the quarterback controversy in the middle of the season.
Yeah. But speaking of Chase Claypool, so they traded him. They traded him to the Bears, and he plays for the Bears, and he ran the Chase Claypool greatest hits package right in one game, dropping passes, falling backwards, basically doing nothing. It's like, yes, I'm so glad we got rid of him. No offense to him, but he just didn't work out here, and hopefully he figures it out there. But it's you know, he had a good rookie year, and then after that he just ain't it.
And we got a good pick for him. It's yet to be seen what pick, but I mean, it's gonna be high. It's gotta be
a solid pick. It's a solid pick. Right. Yeah, I hope he does well in Chicago. I really like the kid, and I feel like whatever was happening where we just weren't gelling with him, do you know what I mean? I think some of it was to blame on the offense and the play calling, and the O-line was definitely an issue last year. So I feel like some of those things were an issue, but I also think there were some things that were on him that he, you know, just kind of had like that sophomore slump last year a little bit. And I mean, it seemed like he had moments this season where you saw some of the flashes of what we saw during the rookie year, but it just wasn't consistent enough. So I hope he finds success in Chicago. Sometimes that fresh start or new offensive package, something changes something for him. I think he's a He's a good kid, so I hope it works out.
Yeah, he was only there. He hadn't even been there like a week, right, when he started.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
You know, it, as much as you're right, Joe, like it was his greatest hits, it seems like, okay, let's give this guy some time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Chicago's coming into their own a little bit. You know, that's another team that's like improving each week. Do you know what I mean? As the season goes on. And on our podcast last week, we had a guy on who does an NFL podcast who's a Bears fan. And so we were talking about some of this stuff a lot and how they've really invested themselves in this huge rebuild and just said, like, we're giving up on 2022. And we're dumping everything into this rebuild. They're going to have like over $100 million in cap space for next season, which is incredible.
Well, the main thing they wanted was just to see Justin Fields progress.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He has. And so it's so encouraging because now we're seeing it with Kenny Pickett, the struggling, just like Justin Fields did in his first year and even somewhat this year. But now he's starting to figure it out and he's starting to do
it's
his thing.
It's just so common. I don't understand like all the people that are really freaking out about Pickett. Like it's way too soon to be freaking out. Do you know what I mean? It's so common for these young kids to struggle like this. You got to give them a little bit of time.
Yeah, you don't want to crush. It doesn't seem like he'd be easy to crush his confidence, but he's just getting beat up already, and it's like, chill.
Yeah,
and people will say like, I know that so and so struggled as a rookie, or rookies commonly struggle, but this guy sucks, and he's got to go. We need to draft a quarterback. Like, just calm down.
Look at the other rookie quarterbacks. Malik Willis can't complete a pass. That's Sam Ellinger stinks.
Yeah.
So that's just how it is with a rookie quarterback.
Admittedly, it takes, you know, those guys weren't like the greatest quarterbacks to come out of college football. It just was such a weak draft class. But I mean, even when you look at like Tua and what's his face, the plays for the Eagles, you know, I mean, it takes Jalen Hurts, right? It takes these guys time. I mean, even Trevor Lawrence isn't where people thought he was going to be. Do you know what I mean? It takes these guys time. And especially when the rest of your offense is kind of spotty with like such a terrible, like all the issues we've had on O-line and some of the stuff that's been going on with the receivers, just not connecting. I mean, it just takes time. Najee being hurt, terrible play calls. I mean, he can't do it himself.
In his first year and a half.
Yeah.
Josh Allen went through the same thing with the Bills media and the Bills fans. Like, oh my God, did we make the right decision? And he was a higher, I'm pretty sure he was a higher pick. You know what I mean?
One interesting thing I'm looking forward to seeing now that Chase Claypool is traded is, so I mean, not that George Pickens wasn't getting playing time. He was getting a lot of snaps, but now he goes from being like wide receiver three to wide receiver two.
Right.
So now you have no choice. He's going to be out there the whole time.
Yeah. He was getting snaps, but not targets as much as he should have. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he needs to be targeted more often, I would hope.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like Sims is going to get, you know, is going to be the slot receiver and stuff. It's like, okay. We'll see. That's interesting. We'll see if that develops into something.
Right.
Yeah. We haven't really had the opportunity to evaluate him in that role yet. Do you know what I mean? But he's done some good things on special teams. So I feel like there's at least optimism.
And that's pretty much what he did in Washington, right? Or no?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But Washington also like horribly misused him. Do you know what I mean? He just wasn't.
Washington misuses everybody.
Yeah.
Players, exactly. Employees, compare, everybody. They just
hard misuse. To compare anybody to time played in Washington.
Yeah. I mean, we just got to see some progress with this offense. Can the running game get going? Can they get some passing going? Can just some, that's, we just want to see progress at this point.
I keep seeing people on Twitter saying that, like, forget your low draft pick Steelers fans. They're going to go on a tear after the bye week and almost win out the rest of the season. Do you guys think that that's like actually possible? I mean, I know anything's possible, but what do you think about the likelihood of that?
They have four divisional opponents in the final half in the last nine games, and that's rough. Including including the Browns with Deshaun Watson back.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. So I guess Steven Sims, not to change the subject again, but he played in the slot 610 snaps in Washington. So yeah, he was in the slot the majority of the time. He played wide left, was like the second most snaps he had in Washington. So okay.
But
yeah.
I'm on two sides with will the Steelers have a good second half. First of all, on the side of yes, the schedule is much weaker than it was. They're not playing Bills at Dolphins, at Eagles. You know, they're playing the freaking Colts, who don't have a coach who picked a dude coach, just literally some guy off the street.
Yeah. Yeah,
what
random.
What are
they
doing?
Also, our division isn't as tough as we thought it was going to be. Do you know what I mean? They haven't been great by any stretch. So, I mean, that to me, even though that always is like mental and tough, it's not as tough as it has been in the past.
Yeah. And the other thing that really is going for the Steelers is TJ Watt.
Yeah.
And that's going to make the defense much better. And so, you know, the offense just has to be a little bit better and they could win these, you know, 17 to 14 games or whatever, you know. So in that sense, I think they'll have a bit like, you know, maybe they'll go 5-4 or 6-3 in the next nine or something like that. And they have an 8-9 record or something like that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, what if the offense doesn't get better? What if Kenny continues to struggle? What if they still can't run? What if, and then it doesn't matter who you have on defense, who you have anywhere, they're not going to win games. So I don't know.
All offensive draft picks next year, first, all seven rounds.
Yeah, it's got to be. We have got to, we've said this over and over. You got to, look at those less sexy picks for the low draft number, like low draft picks next year. We need line, both offense and defense. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We have to look at some of those things. Need to be looking at a replacement for Cam Hayward. You know what I mean? Just building up some of those fundamentals. We just don't have them. We've got really awesome, sexy players on both sides of the ball, but not those foundational ones that you need. And we've got to look at that. I mean, that if we're going to be critical of anything that we've done drafting, it's been not giving some attention to the line.
It's so true. It's so true. Stop with the sexy picks. Stop.
Yeah.
Meat and potatoes. That's what we want.
We need it. I mean, it's been, I had it written down somewhere, but how long it's been since we drafted like a solid lineman. And it was like 5 years, 6 years, something. It's been a long time. Just
crazy.
Ridiculous. I mean, you have to, those positions are just as important as the other positions. You know what I mean? Your wide receiver can't catch balls if you don't have people out there blocking for them. And you just have to replenish those.
Well, I mean, okay. So in theory, you have your franchise quarterback. You have to give that franchise quarterback as everything he can to succeed. And that's a good offensive line. So whatever you got to do, fix that offensive line. It's not totally broken. It's not totally bad.
Some good parts.
It's better than it was, last year. So
and that's good, because you know, then it's not looking at like a total rebuild. So you look at where those weak spots are and focus on those, and like you said, make sure you're giving your quarterback everything he needs.
Yeah.
I think it's Javon Hargrave was like the last really good. Were you talking about defensive when you were talking about
defensive or offensive?
I was talking about the offensive line.
Hargrave and Tuitt. And honestly,
it was Tuitt that I was thinking of.
Ever since Tuitt's been gone, that defensive line has not been the same.
Yeah.
They have not been able to replace him, and they've been weak on the run ever since.
Yeah.
And that has to stop. You got to stop that. So that they got to get a good defensive line one way or the other.
Yeah. I was really shocked that they didn't address that more in the last offseason. I kept waiting for it. I anticipated it when they didn't draft. I was like, okay, well, they must have free agents they're looking at. Then that didn't happen. And I was like, all right, we're just going to pretty much do this same thing again.
I'm okay with Larry Ogunjobi, but the problem is he's hurt, which is has been his problem. And the other problem is Tyson Alualu has reached his expiration date. Yeah. So, you know, you can't count on him anymore. So
Larry O, I think he's only a rental, right? Isn't he just
here? I think he is just a rental. Yeah. So they're going to have to address that again. So,
Yeah.
But those are two significant pieces. Do you know what I mean? And if they're not where they need to be, and then, you know, do we need to look at something else for center? Are we good? You know what I mean? So
I think center's good. And I think, I think Mason Cole's good. I think James Daniels good. Mm-hmm. Chooks, I guess. I mean, they're paying him. So, you know, you're stuck with him, but Dan Moore.
Well, he's not the worst this year. I mean, last year he was like the biggest gaping hole, and this year it's Dan Moore.
Yeah. It's either Dan Moore and Kevin Dotson have to go.
Yeah.
So you need to replace them.
Penalties are outrageous from
are killing us.
Yeah. It's like, and that just boils down to discipline. You know, they just don't seem to
happen. Well, discipline and ability. If you're constantly getting beat, sometimes the only thing you got to do is hold. So it's
but a legal man downfield. I mean, that just seems to be like the
come on. Yeah.
That's also some really weird, stupid thing the officials are fixating on for some stupid reason.
Yeah, right. It is. But if you know they are, then it's on you. Your donor is on you to make sure you stop doing
that's
it.
That's true.
Right? Some of
that's
that true. Stuff is coaching and discipline. And I agree. I just think, but it's frustrating when you see those same penalties over and over again, and especially when you're this far into the season.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so let's predict the next the remaining nine games of the season. How many wins do you think they get? It's the schedule is home to the Saints, then home to the Bengals, which changed to a 4:25 game. Thank goodness.
And they don't have Jamar Chase. It seems like the Bengals are like we are without TJ Watt. They can't win without Jamar Chase. But I sort of feel like 5-4. I know it sounds very homery, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Not as bad as the 6-3, I was gonna say. I'm super optimistic.
Remember when we started before the season, our predictions? We were all guessing like 12, 13, 14 wins.
I know. I think we've got a real shot to win at the Saints. I think we've got a real shot to win at the Bengals. I think we've got a shot against the Colts and the Falcons. I mean, that's four right there.
Yeah. And the Raiders, you look at the Raiders and it's like, we should be able to beat them, but we always never do.
That's true, but it's Immaculate Reception Day.
Right.
You cannot lose on Immaculate Reception Day.
We can't lose.
No, absolutely cannot.
It is some kind of weird mental thing with the Raiders, though, where no matter how terrible they are, well, we can't beat them. But I do agree that this year might be different. Because that would be the kind of weird thing we'll win. Like all these other games that we should have won, we don't, but then we'll go in and win that one that we never win or whatever. Mm-hmm. Very Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, Panthers is also a guaranteed win. Yeah, Colts is a guaranteed win.
Easy with the guarantee.
Let's slow your roll, guarantee this year.
Yeah, don't go overboard.
Actually, I think
they're going to be in Atlanta for the Falcons game. So if they don't win, there's going to be a lot of black and gold in Atlanta.
You guys are going to be there.
Sure is. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, we're excited.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I put a tweet out yesterday asking who all was going and got a bunch of responses from people who said they'd be there. So that's really cool. I'm excited.
Awesome. But I'm telling you, I think the Falcons are actually sneaky good. Yeah. That might be a tough game.
I don't think that's any guarantee win. I think it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah. But I'm excited that they flex the Bengals game because, you know, I'm old and I can't go to bed at, you know, I can't sleep after the games. And I want to, you know, it's so,
those 8:30 games are so hard. Oh,
they take me forever to like calm down.
The Colts are the week after, and that was supposed to be a primetime game too. So, you know, they're going to flex that. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I don't think they can. It's a Monday night game.
Yeah, I don't think they can change Monday night.
You're right.
Yeah, they're stuck with that.
Good point. Good point.
That's gonna be funny.
Yeah, all of America is just gonna be like, oh my god, really? This is the Monday night game.
This is what we're stuck watching.
Hey, I respect the Colts because they're all about the tank. They're not. They're not. They're not hiding it. They're basically saying we're tanking.
Yeah.
We got a dude that barely has heard of football, and we're bringing him as the coach.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I guess he's like a pro. He is like a Hall of Fame center. So I won't say that. He
yeah, but he's you know, coach. It's
that's
it's,
not the same as coaching, though.
No,
which is crazy. I mean, that's
it's like saying the new coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers is Marquise Pouncey or something like that. It's
right. Or Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
There are fans that want that, which is bizarre. Bizarre to me that they should hire Ben as the new offensive coordinator. I'm like, just because somebody played doesn't mean they're a good coach. Like, I'd like it better than Matt Canada. Don't get me wrong. Be willing to give it a shot. But
good players make lousy coaches.
A lot of times it's true.
A lot of people are saying Peyton Manning should be the coach of the Colts or the offensive coordinator or something like that. It's like, okay, yeah, he's smart, but you know, the problem with good players is they're good players. Look at the players on the team and say, why can't you be as good as me? Like, because we're not. That's why.
I think they also look from their position a lot too. And then it's hard to see from like the full balcony of like everybody else's. Do you know what I mean? To see the big picture. I don't know. I just, to me, the really successful NFL coaches are never the guys that were like the best quarterback 12 seasons ago or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's, they might have played, but you don't see a whole lot of them that had like tons of professional success and then coach.
Bill
Cowher was not a Pro Bowl linebacker, so
no.
Exactly. It's the scrubs. And, right, and that's usually the scrubs make the best coaches because they had to work hard to get to where they were and be smart and hard, work hard. Yeah. They didn't have their natural given ability. They just had to figure it out. So that's
and why such in love best. Of the game, like so much passion for the game to just be like a student of football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And another thing is to be a coach in any NFL coach, you basically have to dedicate like all of your life to it. Like you have no spare time. You're doing something 24/7. Does Ben or Peyton Manning, who's made like $250 million, you think they want to, sleep in the office because they're working the whole time? Like, screw that. I'll go play golf.
Right. Well, Ben made it pretty clear by the end of his career, like he wasn't spending any more time doing any extra crap than he had to do. Do you know what I mean? He's like, look, I've been here this long. I'm plug and play. I'm not coming in for anything extra.
He took Wednesdays off. He just said, Wednesday.
What are you going to say? I mean, yeah, go ahead. Right. Ben Roethlisberger, you know.
Okay. Allison, what was your prediction for? Oh yeah, you said five and four.
And four, yeah.
Okay. I think I'm gonna go 5-4 too. So we'll see. Yeah, but I mean, our predictions mean nothing because, like I said, back in September, we were so young and naive and thought they would win 12, 13, 14 games. And
sometimes you feel like the beginning of the season gives you this like feeling for how the rest of the season is going to progress, or you're seeing something for how the rest of the season is going to progress. But this has felt so disorganized and chaotic, not even just like straight trash. Like there's been moments of brilliance. There's been moments where you get your hopes up. Do you know what I mean? It makes it hard to feel like, oh, we're just going to tank for the rest of the season, or to feel like we're going to have like a really strong finish.
What is the biggest factor in the Steelers being having a crappy record so far? Was it TJ Watt being hurt, or is it, I don't want to blame everything on Matt Canada, but just the offense in general stinking? Which was the bigger factor? I think it's the offense.
It was Watt because they were causing a lot of chaos. They were wreaking havoc when he was there. Not just him, but like everybody around him, including Minka. I mean, I sort of feel like it's odd. The secondary seems not as good since he left. You know what I mean? So
I think Minka's hurt.
They were really.
I think so.
Oh, that's where he was out for a couple games, wasn't he? Or a game or something
I think he was out. I think he was out one game.
Yeah.
And like you keep hearing sometimes on the injury report that he has like a knee issue. So I think he's not at 100% because like Minka at 100% would not have allowed like that one play against the Bills and that AJ Brown did to him. He would not have allowed that if he was at 100%.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were getting takeaways when Watt was around and the defense was and the secondary was healthier. So I feel like they were some of the reason why we have such a high points per game. And I'd say high because it's very low, but the defense was responsible for a lot of those points early on in the season. So misleading.
And remember, they easily could have beat New England. That was Gunnar Olszewski giving away the game on a muff punt. They could have beat the Browns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a 12-point game, but it was close the whole way. They should have beat the Jets, and they could have and should have beat the Dolphins. So we're talking about a 5-3 team or a 4-4 team instead of a 2-6 team. And then we're having a completely different discussion about, can we win the division? Can we make the playoffs? Yeah. And now we're talking about draft position.
Right.
Yeah. To me, I think it's a real 50-50 split. Like there's been games that you've watched, like the Miami game, where our defense failed to capitalize on things that would have won us the game they had those interceptions. So I think there's like, but then by that same token, when the defense has done well, like even in that Bengals game, we won, but our offense struggled to take advantage of anything that the defense handed us. You know what I mean? They get an interception, they cause a fumble, and then we go 3-and-out once we get the ball. So it feels hard to place the blame on like either side completely because I think they both have culpability. And I was kind of riding like the offense. This is all offensive issues because I felt like we had our defense at times playing really well. But like during that Miami game, I was like, they're not without Watt. I mean, they're really struggling.
Yeah. We will see. After the Eagles game, I was pretty depressed. Like, do I even want to watch the rest of this? And it's like, now I'm excited. I want to see what happens one way or the other. I want to see how this all turns out. So, hey, and if it's a failure and they don't win games, that's good too. Get better draft position.
And they're going to learn hopefully from it in the offseason.
Yeah.
If they continue to lose, you would hope that they
the minute the season is over, they're turning off Matt Canada's security card, and they already have his stuff like in a box. Like, please get out of here, just go.
They better not even let him ride like the bus back to the facility after the game. He can like Uber back to his
house. Exactly. Uber. Just here's the street. Good luck. Just get out.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so because even if we split the remaining games and do okay, like that's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. It's something's got to give. And
I still feel like even if they do better in the second half of the season, and I still feel like if Matt Canada comes back next year, all hell is going to break loose.
Oh yeah. Oh, people are going to go nuts. I mean, they're nuts that he's back after the bye. Yeah.
See, there was no chance of it's like, whoa, they should fire him at the bye week or something like that. They don't do that.
But,
after the season's over, I don't care how many, I don't care if he has a 100-year contract. Do you get rid of him right now?
Yeah.
Bye. Adios, bro.
Yeah. There should become kind of clause in their contracts. Like if you suck as badly as he does, then like they can let you out of it. Because otherwise, like you just sit there and maybe he's just happy to collect a paycheck for 2 or 3 years. And then he's going to ride off into the sunset with his money. He's not worried about it. He's investing. That's what he's doing up in the booth, is investing his paychecks so that he has something to live off of for the rest
of his life.
He's
probably really stupid investment in Bitcoin or something like that. Or some he's probably making up his own Canada coin or something like that.
Canada coin.
You think he's gonna make? You think all of a sudden he's gonna make good financial decisions?
Right. Look, look, right.
It's a wonder he can get back to his house.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the contracts are going to start having a Matt Canada clause. Like, if you suck bad, yeah. we have reason to terminate you on the spot. That's right. A Canada
immediately.
Clause.
Yep. Canada clause. I like it.
I'm mad at payroll. I'm mad at payroll for paying him. They should, they should stop giving him checks and the IT department for not changing his password. I'm mad at the Steelers organization.
Yeah. Hey, if you burn the French fries at McDonald's every week and every day when you go to make fries, you burn the French fries, and eventually you get fired. They try to remediate you once or twice and then they let you go. You don't last. I mean, he's burning something more important than the French fries.
They need to write him up. He needs to get written up.
Detention for you, Matt Canada.
Right.
Off you go.
Corporate retraining, and then he has to go.
You have to write on the board 100 times, I will not suck. I will not suck. I will not suck.
I will not do run pass at the beginning of every drive.
Yes. I will develop new plays.
Yeah. The middle of the field is a thing.
Right.
See, that's what he was doing during his bye week.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been fun.
It has.
Always.
We'll see how. I'm excited now. I'm excited how the season's going to go. So we'll see.
5-4.
All right. I'll see you guys.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Bye.